This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. Happy weekend to you. I'm glad you're here on this wonderful, wonderful weekend. Coming up on the show this week, we have our weekend review. We'll also talk with our resident career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He'll give us some meaningful ideas on how we can advance our careers. Also, we'll talk to Dr. Michael Osterholm. He's an epidemiologist, and he once served as President Biden's health advisor when he was then President-elect Biden. We'll give you some ideas about your money and an interesting piece on what you can do with bank cards. New Beginnings starts right now. Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Libel Sternbach, Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. He's a great man. I enjoy talking with you, Libel. Hello and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. I'm really excited to talk about this because I know when we get to talking about inflation, everybody can relate to it. On this episode of Libel on Fire, that's exactly what we'll be talking about. Inflation and inflation scares. Oh my goodness, where do we start? Inflation is one of the biggest risks that we have. How does it impact us in retirement, Libel?
So that how it impacts us in retirement. And this is kind of one of those weird things that you say it, it doesn't sound true, but it's one of those things that it just, you know, bites you in the butt if you're not planning for it. So inflation that we're used to, you know, the inflation that, you know, when you go to the grocery store and a steak costs a dollar more, or a loaf of bread costs more money, we're used to that inflation. Go to the gas pump, right? Goes up, goes down. That's inflation specific for gas. Mm-hmm. In retirement, though, there are so many costs that their price is not directly linked to the things that we use every single day. For instance, medicine, right? As we get older, we need more of it. And the pharmaceutical companies kind of just control that pricing. And then you got Medicare and Medicaid and the whole health complex. And so during retirement, the inflation that we experience is very different than the inflation that, say, let's say, of somebody who lives in the city or somebody who lives, you know, out in the country or somebody who has young kids, right? Each of those people will experience inflation differently than somebody who's in retirement.
So are you saying that inflation, Libel, is more impactful as you're going into retirement the older that we get?
So I think that inflation has more of an impact on us in retirement than our working years. And there's a number of reasons why I believe that. But the primary reason is that during our working years, inflation actually works for us. And it's something that we really want. It's something that the Federal Reserve works very hard to make sure that inflation stays at a healthy pace. And the reason why they want that is because if the value of stuff goes down at a steady rate, it allows a few things to happen. Number one, it means we can borrow money today to buy goods, and then we're paying it back at a lower rate, right? Because our goods are, the money that we're earning in a year from now is worth more than it was yesterday or the previous year. So over time, that compounds and allows us to have a greater lifestyle. And because we're a consumer-based society, an economy that's based on buying things, you pay me, I go to the store, I buy something, I pay the grocery store pays the farmer, and all this money is going around based on people buying things. So when we have the value of money slowly deteriorating, and we have unemployment at a low rate, so it's very hard to find the people who you want to hire, you end up paying them more, and the cost of goods goes down. And so when you have that kind of balance, it's really great for the economy. The economy expands. Businesses know what's going to happen in the future. They know how much to ask and to borrow money for, and our economy just explodes. However, when we reach retirement, we're no longer getting a wage. We no longer have a salary. So that entire incentive and structure that was building our economy, that made life affordable to us in our working years, mm-hmm. it's suddenly working against us. And we have to be very active and very mindful about how we go about protecting ourselves from inflation. Because if we just leave our money in the freezer, it's going to be worthless by the time, you know, we're done with retirement.
Everyone, we're talking with Leibel. We're talking about the inflation concerns. I won't call them scares again, but talk about, I've heard you talk about it being a silent killer. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So when you look at the market, right, the market goes up and down. And you really know how the market affects your account balance, right? You know that when the market tanks, you're going to feel it in the wallet. When it comes to inflation, you don't see it happening because your account balance just sits there. It stays the same amount, right? You still have that $100 in your bank. It didn't change. What changed was how far that $100 goes. And that's why I call it the silent killer, because you don't really know it's happening to you until you turn around and you go, well, I can't pay rent. I can't fill up my tank of gas. I can't go to the grocery store. I can't put food on the table anymore. And I don't understand why. The same amount of money that I was living on 10 years ago isn't getting me by now. And when we're in retirement and we're not earning any more money, right, and we're living on that fixed income, well, that can be catastrophic. If we were planning on living on, you know, $3,000 a month and all of a sudden we need $6,000 a month in order to live on, that is a very different ballgame.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem. And so when it comes to retirement, right, we got to be looking out for what I call the five major risks in retirement. Number one is drawdown, right? So drawdown are the things that we know about, market losses, right? Taxes, right? If we can avoid those and keep more of our money and capture some of that market gain, we're good. Inflation is another risk that we have to protect against in retirement, right? Because it's going to silently eat away at the value of our retirement and erode that base that we're building, this foundation that should be the golden years of our life, right? And the next one is longevity, right? Just like inflation is going to erode our value, just like a market crash can completely dramatically change our lifestyle, longevity, living longer than we were planning on, can be a real problem. And I know you're thinking like, well,
I thought that was a good thing.
Yeah, right. I want to live a long time. But then what happens when, you know, you're 20 years into retirement, you're like, oh, well, I was only planning on living another 10 years, but, you know, medicine's come a long way and I'm healthier. And, you know, for some reason, all this time means I'm now working out and I'm looking at another 20, 30 years and I don't have money for another 20, 30 years. Right. Even another 15 years. And now you start penny pinching and you're trying to scrimp and get by on less and you're not enjoying life. Right. Everything is a death threat staring at you, just waiting to take away the food on your table. And that's really not a way to live.
That's a difficult way to live. And so how do you manage the inflation? How do you monitor that as you go through, as you're getting closer and closer to taking out that money to live on? Living on this relatively fixed income.
So there's two things that you really got to do if you're going to protect against inflation. Number one, it means that you have to have a way of growing your money. You can't just put it in the freezer or under the mattress. No matter how much you hate things, no matter how much you think that the stock market is rigged, you have to participate in that upward growth of the markets, of interests, because if you don't, you're going to be left out in the cold, right? You need a way to grow that money. So that's number one. Number two, you got to be strategic about what you spend your money on and how you take that money out in retirement, right? So that you're not taking out money during periods where there's a very large amount of inflation, right? Where we recently just experienced this. Inflation went really high. Is it going to stay that way? Is it going to be permanent? Who knows, right? But if you are aware that prices have just shot up and that the cost of gas went from, you know, $3 a gallon to $4 a gallon, and you say, okay, well, I'm not going to take any road trips, or I'm going to take from my cash reserve instead of liquidating my stocks or whatever, right? And you have a plan for it, it's mm-hmm. not going to come and surprise you. And that's what's really important. You got to have a plan to deal with it.
Leibel is talking with us today about inflation and inflation concerns. We just saw a report that said inflation was at 7%. Can you put that in context for us? I know they and you know how they are, they say that that's a 40-year high. But what does that mean to me? Is it because of COVID? Does inflation go away when COVID goes away? Help us through that.
Yeah. So there's two parts to this that you really got to understand. And the first one is going to be easy. The second one's going to be a little more difficult.
Okay.
So the first one, the easy part to understand is that when we say inflation increased by 7%, what we're talking about is what's called the consumer price index for urban dwellers, which is people who live in a city and the average cost that they paid for things, excluding things that are volatile. So on average, people who lived in a city are paying 7% more for things. Now, some of the reasons we know why that is, right? There's COVID outbreaks at the ports and truck drivers, and there just has been a shortage of being able to move goods. So there's less goods and there's more dollars chasing those goods because people still want their stuff, so they're willing to pay more money for it. And when people are willing to pay more for something and there's less of it, well, the price goes up, right? So that is one side of it. The other side is perception, right? People, how people perceive the economy is just as important as what it's actually doing.
Everyone, Leibel is with us today. We're talking about inflation. We're running close to being just about out of time, but I want to just ask this question. How can we manage it? What is the major thing that we should be looking at when it comes to inflation, and how do we stay in front of it if we can?
So the two things that you really want to look at is the stock market is the best hedge for inflation. Now, I don't mean go put all your money into stocks, but you need to have enough money in stocks that your nest egg is growing faster than inflation. There's also things called Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, which are basically government bonds that are increased based on inflation. So you'll earn some money and at least what inflation is. So it's better than putting it in the bank where it's going to be at zero, but it grows, you know, it keeps the value of your money steady, so your buying power remains the same.
Thank you, Leibel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Leibel's website is LeibelOnFire.com. That's LeibelOnFire.com. It's not time to move yet because on the way, Dr. Michael Osterholm is here. He's giving us the very latest on the Omicron variant and whether or not that Omicron variant is peaking in the United States. Stay with us. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Please welcome to our morning show, I believe for the first time this year, Michael Osterholm, who is an epidemiologist, an esteemed epidemiologist, Regents Professor and Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, who also served as President-elect Joe Biden's health advisor. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Freddie. Good to be with you.
Glad you're with us. As the nation marks his two-year battle with COVID-19, speaking of President Biden, how much blame or how much I don't even know how to characterize it. Is he doing enough to help us to stem this battle with coronavirus?
Well, first of all, I think we have to just put it in perspective of what's happening globally. This virus has been throwing 210-mile-an-hour curveballs at us for the last 2 years. And trying to respond to that is a challenge that, unlike anything we've had in public health, really dating back almost 100 years to the 1918 influenza pandemic. So in that sense, every country in the world has struggled with how to respond to this. I think the issue of the United States, though, is that what has been really a painful irony is we have, as a nation, done so much to bring forward these very powerful vaccines. The magical tool that can keep you from becoming seriously ill, being hospitalized, and dying. And yet, as a country, we still have a third of our population that has not been willing to take the vaccines. So that by itself has had a huge impact. And in countries that are more highly vaccinated, the number of deaths have been greatly reduced, the number of hospitalizations. So part of it is, when you look at the administration, sure, there are things we can all do better and they could do better. But at the core of what the challenge is if we can't get people vaccinated, that's what is really holding us back right now from reducing the impact of this pandemic.
I'm sure you know Dr. George Diaz. He says he's optimistic, too, about the vaccines. But do you think that the vaccines have to evolve even more to stay ahead of these ancestral variants that are coming from the original virus that caused COVID-19?
Yeah, Freddie, that's a huge, huge, huge issue. And one that our center actually is in the stages right now of addressing. Over the past 3 years, the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the university, the center I direct, actually led a global effort to come up with what we call a roadmap for influenza vaccines. How are we going to get new and better universal flu vaccines, ones that might work across a lot of strains, one that instead of having to get vaccinated once a year, you may be able to get vaccinated once every many years. And that whole effort has now led to a final, what we call, roadmap. It's on our website. It's now used by organizations from the WHO to all the foundations. Well, we are now taking on the coronavirus vaccines in the same manner. And so your point's right on target. While these vaccines we have now are very, very remarkable tools, they're not perfect. We would like to have a vaccine that could cover all variants that might emerge, even before they happen, to have protection. We'd like one that obviously can even provide more protection than just reducing illness, serious illness, and hospitalizations. So we're embarking right now on a global effort, again, with the same parties, the major foundations, the World Health Organization, our government, and others, to develop a framework to say, this is what we want to have and need to have for vaccines. How do we get them? So it doesn't discount or diminish the importance of our current vaccines. But just as you said, how can we have coronavirus vaccine 2.0 and 3.0? So stay tuned. We're going to be right at the center of that work, try to bring us even new and better vaccines.
I don't know. I think we've been talking for about a year, and you told us at one point that this would be a virus of the unvaccinated. Have we reached the apex of the people who will get the vaccine?
I think that is largely true. I mean, it's a situation where I don't hold out hope that just suddenly one day someone will get vaccinated. But there's so much more we can do. For example, right now only about a third of the population who have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated to date, have gotten this recommended booster, that third additional dose, which can provide so much more protection. And so these are not vaccine hostile, they're not vaccine hesitant people, they just haven't gotten their booster. And yet we know that that can be so helpful in keeping you out of the hospital. And so I think there's a lot more work we can do there, because in many instances, these are people aren't against the vaccine, they just didn't understand or appreciate why they needed that booster. And so I think that we can do work there. But for those who are just absolutely hesitant to hostile about the vaccines, that's a much, much bigger challenge. And Freddie, this isn't even just an issue in the United States. We're seeing it worldwide. Even in the low and middle income countries, there's that group of people today, because of the misinformation, disinformation out there, have come to the conclusion that there's something wrong with these vaccines, that they're dangerous. And, I find it somewhat ironic that, I have several situations right now where families have come to me to say, can I help get them this new drug that can be very effective? Or can I help them get the monoclonal antibody treatment for a family member who refused to be vaccinated, but they don't have any problem taking the new drugs or the monoclonal antibodies, which seems as if somehow an inconsistent position. If they were worried about the vaccine, why are they willing to take these drugs and so forth? And so I think we just have a lot of education to do yet. But in the meantime, you know what's happening in our hospitals around the country. I mean, they are in dire straits. And not only are we seeing a major increase in patients hospitalized, but we're seeing 10 to 20% of healthcare workers who've been previously vaccinated, who surely, you know, have protection from serious illness, hospitalizations themselves, but they are now infected and have to take 5 to 10 days off before they can come back to work. That has created a tremendous challenge in our hospitals right now, something of the likes that none of us have ever seen before.
Dr. Michael Osterholm with this final question. When, and people are always asking this, when will this wave, this blizzard, this tsunami start to subside?
Yep. You know, it's already starting to a bit here. Remember, from the time that someone gets infected till the time they become ill, till the time they might need hospitalization, to the time, unfortunately, they may even die, actually can be 3 to 4 weeks. So that if you start to see a reduced transmission situation right now, don't expect to see the final results of that for another month in terms of the number of cases dropping who are hospitalized or who are seriously ill. So I think you're going to see that, though. We have evidence here in the Twin Cities, at least, with what we call wastewater surveillance. We can actually test the wastewater, and we can pick up the virus in there and how much activity is in the community. That is coming down in the Twin Cities area, so I expect to see those cases start to drop. In greater Minnesota, it's just going up. And, in fact, we've had clinics report as recently as yesterday 75% test positivity for everybody they're testing right now. So this is kind of, you might say, different waves even within the state of Minnesota. But I think within the next 6 weeks, a lot of this activity will be reduced. Now, the challenge with that is I'm afraid we're going to all then say, ha-ha, we're done. Okay, we're over. Much like we did a year ago right now.
You recall
a year ago we had that big January peak. Vaccines were flowing, and people said, we're all done. And, of course, then we saw what happened this summer with Delta and now with Omicron. So, you know, we have to be mindful that even as this surge ends, it drops off dramatically, you know, we're still going to have potential variants for the future we have to be prepared for.
So by then, perhaps the vaccines will have caught up with the virus?
Yeah, they won't be something that will change a lot within the next year or two. I mean, it's going to take some research. One thing we can do, Freddie, which could be really important, I mean, you and I recall back in the 80s, when you got a diagnosis of HIV, that was a death sentence, literally.
Right.
Today, it's a manageable chronic disease for many people because of the drugs. Not a vaccine. We don't have a vaccine for HIV. And so what we need to do is really develop a system for rapid testing so people who are symptomatic don't have to wait days and days or unable to find a place to get tested. We need to greatly expand testing. Get tested. Know within hours are you infected. If you are, then immediately get these drugs to you. And so that's going to take a lot of work on testing, on drug manufacturing, distribution. But, I mean, that could be a game changer like we saw with HIV. If we get people on these drugs quickly after they become infected, then we can do a lot to reduce hospitalizations, serious illness, and deaths. And right now that is going to be such a key benefit of these drugs that, you know, we just have to move forward on.
Doctor, I have to mention that it's ironic to me that people who are hesitant or don't want to take the vaccine will get tested, but they still won't get vaccinated.
I know. It's a tough one. So anyway, and you know, Freddie, thank you so much for getting this kind of information out. You're such an important voice in our community here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to work with you on this. I know you're a very trusted voice by many, many of your audience members, so thank you for what you do.
And thank you for your work, and that's Dr. Michael Osterholm. Thanks for being with us, sir.
Take care. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. All Minnesotans age 12 and older who got the Pfizer vaccine should get a booster shot at least 5 months after their second dose. People aged 12 to 17 can also receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as their booster dose. To find a vaccine or a booster for your child, visit mn.gov/vaxforkids or check with your healthcare provider or pharmacy or watch for vaccination clinics being offered at schools or other community locations near you. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Sure, I'm a little rough and tough. Somebody's got to me. I like the outdoors. Camping, boating, riding in your truck with my head out the window. Yeah, I'll poop outside. Doesn't everyone?
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You're listening to New Beginnings, and this is what has taken place this week with our weekend review. The State Department recommended that all United States citizens leave Ukraine due to the threat of invasion by Russia, which has amassed 100,000 troops near its border with Ukraine. Also, protesters marched along the National Mall in Washington, D.C. in opposition to government-mandated COVID-19 vaccinations. Organizers of the rally said they were protesting mandates, not the vaccines themselves. Since the vaccines do not stop people from getting sick, why should we impose them as requirements to keep one's job or to enjoy the freedoms that we always have enjoyed, such as eating at a restaurant, going to a concert, or attending a school or the university? That was asked by Louisa Clary, an organizer, in an email to the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Anthony Fauci, President Biden's top medical advisor on COVID-19, says a COVID-19 wave fueled by the highly contagious Omicron coronavirus variant was peaking nationally, and he also warns Americans not to get overconfident. He says he hopes that in a few weeks, the level of infection would fall below the area of control, where the virus will still be around, but it won't disrupt society. And while we're on the subject of vaccines, a fourth COVID-19 vaccine dose made people over 60 in Israel three times more resistant to serious illness than people in the same group who had received three shots. That according to Israel's health ministry. Those who got a fourth shot, the two initial doses and two boosters, were twice as resistant to infection than those who had received just one booster. And finally, a 75-year-old French adventurer has died while rowing across the Atlantic. Jean-Jacques Sabin was found dead over the weekend in the boat he was attempting to row across the Atlantic Ocean. Had he succeeded, Sabin, who is 75 years old, would have been the oldest person ever to accomplish that feat. I'm Freddie Bell. That's our weekend review, and you're listening to New Beginnings, appointed listening for you each weekend at this time. It's a weekend, and I'm so glad that you're with us. Hopefully you're not freezing. I know that I'm by a nice warm place, and I've got some hot conversations for you this weekend. And we are talking now with Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. And Joe McKenzie, I know that you have a wonderful website. It's rippleconnects.com. How can people who are listening this morning, how can they reach out to you?
Well, they can certainly call me directly at 763-438-1621, or reach out via that website, leave a comment, or email at joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. I acknowledge all emails and try to refer people to good resources, but also there for them for more of a personalized approach to whatever they're trying to achieve in their career, semi-retirement, what have you.
All right, that's Joe McKenzie, and he's with us this weekend. We're excited. We're talking about meaningful mentoring opportunities, and we want to identify meaningful mentoring opportunities. How do you identify those opportunities? Maybe you're working with someone, but I think you're talking about, are you talking about mentoring opportunities from the perspective of being the mentor, Joe McKenzie?
That's correct. You know, we're speaking to our baby boomer audience here today that may be looking to retire, or they're semi-retiring, and we know the health benefits and just overall wellness of staying connected to the community, having that structure and that sense of purpose. And I do think there, Minnesota has some great resources and opportunities for you to be a mentor.
So you're looking for mentoring opportunities. Is it for everybody?
Mentoring is not for everybody, but I know there's many people that are out there today that are wondering how to, what's the commitment to, you know, do I have to be an expert in one area or another? The short answer is, do your own due diligence. Have conversations on the front end with organizations that may be able to help you in regards to mentoring. But I can tell you that your gift of time, your experience, different skills that you've used in your career of starting a business, what have you, is very helpful for people that are needing a mentor. So don't ever undersell yourself and what you bring to the table, but certainly do your due diligence. And mentoring, I've benefited from having a mentor early on in my career, and I know that mentor was very fulfilled with what we were able to accomplish together.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. What do you say to those folks who say, well, Joe McKenzie, I know how to do what I do. I've done it well for a lot of years. But in terms of transferring that knowledge to somebody else who's young, they're coming up, that's more difficult for me to do. What do you say to that individual?
I would say at least inventory what you do bring to the table. And it may not always be just experience. You may be, say, a military veteran. Or an entrepreneur, and those specific skills, someone that's transferred their military experience into the workforce or started their own company, if you're able to inventory that, there are outlets, there's organizations that help connect you to be a mentor for a military veteran that's transitioning or someone that's looking to start a business. I think just doing inventory of your specific skill set will allow you to see what value you bring to the table. Do you agree with that, Freddie Bell?
Makes sense. So it takes if you want to be a mentor, you can, especially when you're talking about the different interests that we all might have. Maybe in my case, someone wants to be a broadcaster. I can help in that regard. You talked about military veterans, corporate entrepreneurial, small business centers, and so forth. How does it show up in that regard, Joe McKenzie?
Well, it's really the opportunity to, I think an individual should see what they bring to the table, but then start seeking out those organizations that may help, you know, military veteran or that small business entrepreneurial, or even your college where you graduated from, helping people make career decisions. We've all been there in those specifics, and I think that is how you start the process.
I can think about... I think about SBA when there are some retired executives who help people who are trying to start a small business.
Yes.
And in many cases, those people act as mentors.
Absolutely, because they've been there before. And you don't always have to share all your successes. You might be able to share some of the things that you failed at. And that can be helpful for that next business owner that's looking at making some decisions. So, yeah, you start fine-tuning it and what people are trying to do in today's world and what you bring to the table. There are plenty of opportunities in Minnesota for someone that wants to mentor in a lot of different aspects of someone's life.
Exactly. We're talking about meaningful mentoring opportunities. And if you're deciding to be a mentor, I know that it takes some time, and I would imagine that you would need to set reasonable expectations.
Yes, you have to be realistic about your commitment and expectations of what you're going to get from it. And I think that starts on the front end, Freddie, knowing how much time you have and what you're hoping to accomplish. Because if it's not a meaningful, if you don't fulfill what you thought you were going to feel as a mentor, then you may not go back to it or move away from it. And I don't want that to happen. So you have to be realistic about the expectation of, you know, what you want to accomplish with the mentor and how much time you do have. Every situation is going to be different. And that's where that due diligence on the front end really helps, especially for organizations that they're matching a mentor to someone they're going to mentor. And that's important on the front end to have those conversations early as opposed to after the fact when you didn't see the results you wanted and it wasn't meaningful for you.
Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. We're talking about mentoring. That term mentoring really conjures up a really big responsibility. How big is it to be a mentor to somebody?
Well, it does, but sometimes just, you know, my mentors in the past have more or less been there for me. It's almost an informal situation, but even just them listening to me or sharing experience that they work through, let them know that I wasn't alone. So everybody has those types of experiences. So I think if you enter the space of thinking that you have to bring so much to the table that you're not going to be a great mentor, I think you need to pull back and look at the expectations of how those mentoring programs are set up, have conversations with other mentors that you know in your life. So maybe if it resonates with you, that is the type of mentoring opportunity. Just don't take that first mentoring opportunity without any expectations of commitment and what you're going to accomplish and think it's going to turn out the way you want. You do have to do your due diligence on the front end. And it can be, Freddie, to answer your question, it can be imposing in your eye, but until you have those conversations with people that are putting this all together or doing mentoring as it is now, you may not realize that you're very well suited to help someone out.
Well, you know, mentoring is an awesome opportunity. And how does it benefit the person? We think about having a mentee. How does it benefit the mentor when they're offering their advice?
Well, if we're talking to an audience that may be looking at retiring or semi-retiring, every generation in the workforce, and it's leaving the workforce as we speak, brings gifts, experiences, and skills. And to know that those are valued by others is a very fulfilling process for you, because you know that you're staying connected to your community. It may be someone in another generation. You grow from those conversations, meaning the mentor grows from that conversation. They have a high sense of purpose because they're involved with helping someone get from point A to B. Just the overall wellness and staying connected is very, very beneficial to somebody that is looking for that structure, that may have had it in the workforce, but now they're seeking some of that. And now they can, it's on their own terms, Freddie. Now they can balance their whole life out and include mentoring into their structure.
I love this topic about mentoring. What would be a couple of things that we should take away this weekend as we consider becoming a mentor and being a more effective mentor?
Just be realistic about your time and your commitment. But then also take some action steps by doing your own research. If you were able to search online for veterans needing mentoring, say you're a military veteran, there are very good groups in the Twin Cities that you're going to be able to identify quickly. And the same goes for small business or your alumni groups. Do your research. Have conversations with those organizations. Have conversations with other people that have done mentoring so you know what you're getting into, but also probably going to open up your world to what impact you bring and overcome some of the self-limiting thinking that you were never meant to be a mentor. But speaking to another mentor may help you get past that.
All right, Joe, we got to leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
Joe McKenzie always has some fine words for us each weekend right here on New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. It's our pleasure to be with you each weekend on New Beginnings. You can find me online at FreddieBell.com, on Twitter at Freddie Bell, as well as on Facebook, Freddie Bell Radio Shows.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is tenacity. Tenacity can serve you pretty well. When you push yourself across the finish line or if you complete a project on time, that's tenacity because it can help you succeed. While tenacity is definitely a good thing, sometimes the race is not yours to run. Some projects are better accomplished by slowing down. Sometimes it's better just to wait for that inspiration rather than to force a solution. The key is knowing when to wait for that guidance, when to wait for the ideas, for that success, and the way to move ahead. True tenacity is really a blend between moving forward and waiting for that great inspiration to come. Our point of focus is tenacity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, www.freddiebell.com or 888-639-9738. Or email is freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. The Minnesota Department of Health says thanks to all Minnesotans who are taking precautions against COVID-19. There is an extremely high demand for testing right now. Here are ways to get tested. Walk in or schedule an appointment at one of the state's free community testing sites. Some sites only accept appointments, so check before you go. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Have you ever noticed how much we are relying on credit cards, even for the most routine of purchases, like a bag of potato chips or a pack of chewing gum or something like that? On checkout pages of many online retailers, you're more and more likely to see a new payment option, generally known as Buy Now, Pay Later, BNPL. It lets you buy on credit without a credit card. But there are some downsides that I wanted to share with you about those. How BNPL works is really simple. Along with usual payment choices such as credit cards, Apple Pay or Google Pay, you'll see an option to pay over time via a service like Affirm, Afterpay, or Klarna. Click through, and if you're able and if you're approved, a quick credit check may be required. Your tab will be split into smaller payments that you make over a few weeks or even a few months. And depending on the service and your payment schedule, there may be no fees or interest charges. BNPL programs are like buying on layaway, but with a twist. Instead of receiving your purchase after you've made your payments, you get it right away. Offered mostly online, but also in stores through mobile phone apps, BNPL services are exploding in popularity. About 45 million Americans used one in 2021, up 80% over the prior year, estimates the Insider Intelligence Research firm. And as the new BNPL programs gain acceptance, fewer retailers are offering layaway. So what's the catch? There's more than one. As in the case with credit cards, late or missed payments can result in fees or interest charges plus a lower credit score. You're not entitled to credit card perks such as extended warranties or reward points. The Consumer Financial Credit Bureau also warns that BNPL services don't come with the same safeguards provided by credit cards. That could be a problem if you want to return something or if you fall for a scam. There are limits on what you can buy, however. Product categories such as groceries and low-cost personal care items, like I mentioned at the outset, chewing gum or potato chips, are commonly excluded. And most services have minimum and maximum purchase sizes, $30 to $1,500, for example, at PayPal. But the strongest reason to be cautious is that BNPL programs can tempt you into overspending. 73% of the 1,003 shoppers surveyed by couponfollowme.com, for example, said that using BNPL prompted them to purchase more than they would have otherwise. A recent Credit Karma survey found that a third of shoppers who used BNPL fell behind on their payments, resulting in a lower credit score for nearly three-quarters of them. If you have a hard time sticking to a budget and perhaps you lose track of your spending, this could be a risky option for you. So, if you can't afford a purchase, it doesn't help you to spread the payments out because you still can't afford it. I listed some of the major players with the BNPL program that they work a bit differently, and here are some key terms of four leading providers. The first one is Affirm, Affirm.com. How it works: choose the period of time in which you'll complete your payments, primarily 3, 6, or 12 months. As far as the fees are concerned, you'll pay interest from 0 to 30% on the purchase amount, depending on your credit worthiness, but no late fees. Retail partners include Amazon, Target, and Walmart. The really popular one is called Afterpay, Afterpay.com. And how it works, you make 4 payments over 6 weeks with no interest. The fees? Well, late fees can amount to 25% of your order. Retail partners include Dick's, Dillard's, and DSW. Klarna, Klarna.com, K-L-A-R-N-A. How this one works, you choose how you'd like to pay. In 4 equal payments with no interest, in 30 days with no interest, or with monthly financing at 19.99% interest. You get $5 when you sign up for the service. Fees up to $35 if you miss a payment. Retail partners include Macy's, Sephora, and Wayfair. And finally, PayPal. PayPal.com/payin4 is PayPal Pay in 4. And how it works, you make 4 payments in biweekly installments. There are no fees. The program recently dropped as late fees. And retail partners include Bed Bath & Beyond, Best Buy, and Target. Talking about a new way to pay, a variation on layaway offering convenience, but with a catch, my advice to you is just simply beware and keep your eyes open. And as we mentioned through the piece, that if you can't afford to pay for it right now, don't buy it. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. We're here each weekend for you with information that we hope you can use, helping you to protect your money, also health, wealth, and finance, plus just some fun things to talk about as well.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Wearing a high-quality mask helps limit the spread of COVID-19, including variants like Omicron. Examples of high-quality masks are N95 or KN95 masks, which are good at blocking droplets. If you can't get that type of mask, wear a well-fitting mask with at least 2 layers of tightly woven fabric. You can also layer a disposable mask under a cloth mask to increase effectiveness. Stay safe, Minnesota. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and it's really exciting to be with you this weekend, as we are every weekend right here on New Beginnings, appointed listening for you as we try to help you not only with health, but with finance, with your money. And as we're talking about money this weekend, sooner than you may realize, your credit score will start to matter. A solid credit score can be the difference between qualifying for an apartment or a low-interest car loan or just simply missing out. So to have credit ready when you need it, the time to start building a good and lengthy credit history is right now. I know that's what Mom always said. There's more than one way to build credit, and it could be as simple as reporting your ongoing bill payments to the major credit bureaus. But keep in mind, building credit takes diligence, particularly since missing payments can hurt your score for years to come. Your credit score is a number that typically ranges between 300 and 850 and is calculated based on how reliably you've paid past debt, such as credit card bills. Lenders use your credit score to predict how likely you are to repay debt and to decide how much interest to charge you. Now, I know that if you're 50 plus, you know all these rules, but it's important to revisit these ideas from time to time. As you know, credit cards can be a great tool to establish credit, but they can also damage your score if you take on more debt than you can handle. If a parent or another trusted person in your life has a high credit limit and a long history of making timely payments, you could become an authorized user on their account and benefit from their good credit. This is one of the easy ways to lengthen your credit history. That, according to Blaine Thiederman, he's a certified financial planner in Arvada, Colorado. If you have your own income, you can apply for a credit card when you're 18 years old. Otherwise, you have to wait until you're 21. A secured credit card is typically the best credit card to start with. A cash deposit backs these cards, and because a credit card company can take that deposit if you miss payments, people with short or poor credit histories can qualify. If you live independently, payments for rent, utilities, and phone bills can all be reported to credit bureaus. So paying these bills can build your credit if they're on time and you have them reported. These aren't reported automatically and can require a third-party service. And also, making regular payments on loans can also help you build your credit. And even if you don't have credit history, some loans are available. Credit card builder loans rely on income rather than credit for approval. Now, if you are approved, the loan sits in a bank account and becomes available once you pay it off. Your monthly payments are reported to the major credit bureaus. And student loans are another loan you can also use to build your credit when you're just starting out. Federal student loans don't require credit to qualify, while most private student loans do. Paying off your loans will help you to expand your credit history, and you can get started while you're still in school by making interest-only payments. This show is for everybody, even for the younger people in our audience, because I know you listen in. And you're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell with you every weekend at this time. And we've got more coming up. We're talking health, wealth, and everything important to you right here on New Beginnings. Well, that's our show. I'm Freddie Bell. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And here are today's words to the wise. Happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. You can find more words to the wise in my brand new book entitled Words to the Wise on FreddieBell.com and Amazon.com as well. And remember that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Have a great weekend.